Blog Talk Radio.
Chumbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy with you along with the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he has to boast because his favorite part of the day is eating challah bread French toast. Coach Mike Jones, real fast before we jump into it, if you are looking for some pro wrestling today, Sports Peak Entertainment running in Everett, Washington, later this afternoon, so if you're up in our neck of the woods, you have some live wrestling happening today. But right now, it is time to redo 1-2-3, 1-2-3 day. We tried this before. Technical difficulties curtailed it, but we're getting it to you today. With us today, some professional wrestling referees. We have with us one of the veteran referees of the Pacific Northwest, T-Rex. And we have with us fantastic independent wrestling referee, Zach Carlucci. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
All right, and I believe we are joined by also, let me see, do we have referee Rudy Diamond with us?
You do.
All right, well, sir, I know you are a busy guy this afternoon. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask each of the people on the panel today this to get us started. I will start with T-Rex. How did you decide to get into the refereeing end of the pro wrestling business? Do we got T-Rex with us still?
Yeah, hello?
Up, there you go. Okay, T-Rex, how did you get into the refereeing aspect?
So I got into refereeing, and it's actually funny because I started out as a wrestler, and that was in about 1999. Sandy then converted me short time after to ref because he had a ref get hurt, and he really wasn't wanting to ref all the time anymore. So I got my start and really didn't know a lot how to ref. I knew a lot how to wrestle at the time. And so it basically became one of those things where they threw me in a fire and I had to either get my feet wet or get hot, one of the two. And I wound up getting my feet wet and hot at the same time.
Very nice. Rudy Diamond, same for you. How did you get into the refereeing things as far as wrestling goes?
All right, so here in the Midwest, the independent scene is huge, and so there's been a local resident organization that has been around since 2001, and I was a fan, and then other organizations started opening up, and I became more of a fan. I kept going and going, so all of a sudden one day one of the organizations opens up and says, hey, anybody wants to be a ref, a wrestler, a manager? I'm retired military, so age-wise is something that I know I can't be a wrestler. And so I signed up and went through Bulletproof Academy, Jason Strife School, and, here I am 9 years later still doing it.
And same question for Zach Carlucci. How did you get into being a pro wrestling referee?
I've always been a wrestling fan ever since I was a kid. I grew up watching old WWF and WWF programming here in Northeast PA. Central and Eastern PA. And ever since then, I always wanted to be a referee. I can't explain it other than the fact that when I was a kid, for some reason, I thought it was so cool to see those referees hold up those belts. And I can't explain it, but something about that grabbed me back then. So I put it aside, never did anything to try to pursue the dream or anything, until I turned about 35 years old. A friend of mine worked for a local newspaper, and he was doing an article on a wrestling school up here near Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And he informed me that the school was having tryouts for wrestlers and referees and valets. And, you know, I was on the fence. I'm like, I'm 35. My feet don't want to learn how to bump and leave the ground. I'm too old for this stuff. And he talked me into doing it. So I tried it out just on a whim. It was the most grueling physical interview I've ever had in my life. But I made it through. And 6 months later, I graduated from Backbreakers Training Center as a referee. I was fortunate in that my trainer did not want me to be just another referee. So unlike some referees, I actually have a gimmick in the sense that if you were to see me, I look just like any ordinary black guy. But as you can tell from my name, it's Italian. So I walked in the training. My trainer goes, you're a black Italian. And it's stuck ever since. So for the past 23 years, I've been wrestling under an Italian name as a referee, and I haven't looked back since.
Very, very nice. One of the things that fans may not consider for referees is that they have to travel the exact same miles as everyone else on the show, the wrestlers, the promoters, all of that. Referees are also on the road, and especially at the independent level, they may not make a whole lot of money doing this, but they still have to get to where they're going and back home. I'll start with T-Rex. What are some of the travel tips you would give to a young referee starting out in order to have a successful career?
Oh, man, that's tough, because when I first started, like I said, you definitely were right about not getting a lot of money. I remember I traveled one time from, I live outside of Portland, Oregon, and I actually live an hour closer to, like, Longview, Washington. And I remember when I first started, I had to go one time from Portland, Oregon to Vancouver, BC because they needed me, and Sandy was like, they kind of need a rep up there. I can send you up there. And it was for like a smaller group. Like, I can barely even remember it. And I remember the whole time I went up there. And this was, mind you, I didn't even know the conversion rate. So, like, to be honest with you, the best advice I can give somebody is don't do this for the money. Do this for the love, because, again, as Mr. Steinguy there said, there's not a lot. But what I would give advice to is just be flexible, be willing to take bookings, be willing to understand that this business is just that, it's a business, and you do this for the love, you don't do this for the money. But the money does kind of help when you get it. The other advice I will give to a young rep is just listen to what the wrestler is trying to tell you, because you communicate in there. You're the communicator. You definitely are the guy that's going to be the one that's going to get either yelled at for a good job, or you're going to be the one that's yelled at for if the match goes basically to hell. So either way, just take what you can get in this business, and just be respectful, and always make sure that you appreciate, at the end of the day, not only the talent, the promoters, the booker, the other referees on the card, because you don't know how many of these you're going to get. And that's the advice I give to a lot of people. I also give people the advice on what it is to be a referee. Well, to be a referee, you need to make sure that you're at least appropriately dressed. And I don't show up in a ring in shorts, and do not show up definitely like that. Now, if it's a gimmick thing, then and it's like, you know, like some weird like gimmick where they have you doing it, then that's a different deal. But that needs to be addressed with the promoter. But do not show up in anything less than black and white, or at least black. I mean, I do a black top now and that just for a different company, but most of the time black and white, and make sure that you got your stuff. That's the advice.
All right, Rudy Diamond, what about you? If a young wrestler comes up to you wanting some travel advice, what have you got?
Well, T-Rex, first off, thanks for your input there. You said it very well on all the things you said there, but one of the things that you notice is, you know, with the traveling, a lot of them whether it's the referee or the wrestlers, they're all going to get their own clique. Whether they went to the same training together, or the same age, or they started off at the same time, they're going to get that clique. So I always tell the refs, get in that same clique, because those wrestlers are going to want to travel as much as you do. And so if you guys are all hanging together and work together, you're going to know how each other works. But not only that, you get to our carpool. You get to hang out with your friends. You know, so that's why you always tell them, the more carpool you can get going, get involved with the people. Find out who your friends are or who you want to hang with. Find out where they go, what promotions, and try to get on with those guys. That way you can always travel together. So the carpool is a huge thing. The other thing is have a rate. No one wants to travel for free. And that's the thing. I mean, at least gas, money, your time, it's worth something. A lot of guys will say, oh, I'll just do it for free. That's great in the beginning. But at the same time, you're not doing it for the money. But at the same time, they need respect for what you're given, what you have, and what your talent is. So I tell them, you know, work out a deal. Maybe they may pay you what you ask for. They may not. But always have a price. Don't just always do it for free, because the next thing you know, you may be working for them, driving 3 hours one way to work for free. No one wants to do that, pass or not. Deserve something. So carpool, get with someone that you're traveling in the same kind of areas, and like I said, make sure you put a travel fee out there.
All right, Zach, what about you? What advice do you have for guys starting their travel?
Well, T-Rex and Rudy here gave excellent suggestions, so I really don't know if I can add much to that. They were on point. But I would say one of the couple pieces of advice that I would give for young referees traveling, and Rudy said it best, you're not going to always work for free. But when you're first starting out in the business, you take whatever booking you can get. And lots of times when you first start out, they're going to be for free. I can't tell you how many shows I've worked for free in the beginning of my career just to get my name out there. Now, after a while, and, you know, there's really no magic number as to when this will happen, but after a while, you'll say to yourself, okay, I got maybe like a year or so under my belt. Should I still be working for free? Well, that's hard to answer, but I will put it this way. If you're being asked to work for a new promotion and it's for free, I would say take it, because this is your opportunity as a young referee to show that promoter what you can do. And by doing that, you're also showing the other wrestlers on the card what you can do. Why that's important is that during my career, I can honestly say that for the past 23 years, all of my bookings have come from word of mouth. That is, I have worked with wrestlers on shows, and those wrestlers will go to other promotions and say, hey, I work with this referee. Maybe you might want to bring him in. And so they bring me in for free in the beginning of my career. Got my name out there. The rest is history. So, yeah, you're going to work a lot of shows for free, but that's part of the game. We all have gone through that. Another piece of advice I would give for young referees traveling is keep your mouth closed and your eyes and ears open. You're going to see and experience a lot during your travels in the locker rooms, at shows. You're going to see drama. You got to stay above all of that. You can't get in the middle of that. You will see it. Great, as you know, it's part of the game, but don't let it consume you. You are there to learn from the other referees. You are there to learn how the business works. You are there to learn how wrestlers work and what's all involved with that. And so as a young referee, I think it's important to keep that in mind. Your job is to make the wrestler's job as easy as possible, and that's it. And you can't do that if you're involved in the drama of the day. And I guess the last piece of advice I would give for traveling, and of course I learned this the hard way many, many years ago, keep a second pair of gear with you. I always travel with a second referee shirt, a second pair of pants. Luckily, I've never split any, but you know the day that I don't bring them, that's when it'll happen. So I would bring another set of gear, because you never know when you'll need it.
very, very true. Oh, in our business, wrestling matches have always had stipulations added to them going back to the beginnings, whether it's a steel cage or a bull rope match. In modern times, we've seen lots of TLC matches and lots of I quit matches, all these types of different matches that have different sets of rules to them. T-Rex, what would you say is the hardest match for you to referee?
Actually, honestly, the hardest match I've ever had is Falls Count Anywhere, because like those kind of matches, because they can go inside the building, outside the building. I mean, you have to make sure that everything is lined up. Hopefully security knows that they, you know, where the match is going to go and flow, because I feel like in Falls Count Anywhere style matches, if the security team and that isn't on it, and you know, if there's some miscommunication in the wire, that's where things get crazy when you're out in the crowd. The other ones I've always had fun with, not that it's hard, but like the ones I've always had fun with are basically, you know, gimmick matches are also can be tough sometimes because you don't necessarily know, you know, what might happen. If it's a quick match, it could be a quick one. But I always say that the Falls Count Anywhere for me have been the one that once I learned how to do them, I mean, I've done this a long time, so it got a little easier. But when I first started out, so here's another thing for you newbies out there. When you first start out, and I don't know who it was that said your ears and your eyes and all that, that's a really good point, by the way. But when it falls down anywhere, you literally may be outside. I refereed a match one time, and this was in Portland, Oregon. And they didn't communicate with, like, going out onto a street, and I had to stop wrestlers and fans from getting hit by a bus in, like, southeast Portland. A TriMet bus literally almost hit the wrestler's hand and three or four of the fans. So
wow.
Communication is really, really huge. The other thing I suggest is, for me, another tough match. I mean, street fights are the same thing in a sense. Street fights are always tough because there's really nothing for you to officiate but the pinfall. So, I mean, you're just kind of standing there, but that's your time to make sure that, you know, the boys know the times and all that, too. So, just my little piece of advice there.
Pretty Diamond, what about you? Do you have that stipulation match that's the hardest for you to do?
I'll say, so I have three matches that I hate, okay? One would be one organization, they've had it twice in my 9 years, they do the bare bones where they take off the ring apron and it's all on the flat wood. That kills your knees, your hands, it's stupid. So if I have one of those, I've only had two, that's way too many. I tell them, guys, as less pinfalls as possible because we're all taken to beating. That was brutal. The other thing I don't like, and it's for the safety of everyone, is when we get the tables involved. Now I'm going through tables, and they want me to pull it off to the side. And you know how those tables are. They become a dismangled mess of wires and wood that you're trying to move out of the way, and they're still trying to put on a show. So I hate it when the tables aren't cooperating the way they're supposed to. So that's a hard one that I don't like. And then also when I get wrestlers that don't want to listen. I get to a 4 count. I shouldn't get to a 5 count because now you're just not listening to me. We're all in there together. I'm trying to make your job easier. But at the same time, I don't need you to disrespect what I'm trying to do. So if you disobey or disregard my count, then it makes me look stupid. So and it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while, they'll apologize. Oh, I didn't hear you. No, you heard me. Trust me. Just don't do it again. Just listen. That's all I want you to do is listen. You know, and we all want to listen to each other. So, but that's my hard matches.
I'll throw in, I once disqualified the undefeated heavyweight champion of a promotion because he didn't break by 5.
Right.
That was a new finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all about communication, you know?
Exactly.
Makes us all look stupid, you know, and that's not what we're there. We're there to entertain. You know, it's kind of like I tell people now, make sure you count to 3. If they kick out, you're the boss. You can say it was only 2. But when you don't count and you get the deer in the headlights, then everybody's like, what the fuck happened there? You know? So count to 3. You can recover if it's not a 3 count. It's hard to recover when it's supposed to be.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
True. Zach, what about you? Do you have hardest stipulation?
Yeah, one match that I really, really – well, thankfully I've never done a – what do you call it, a bare-bones match?
Bare-bones, yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, my God. Yeah, thankfully I've never done anything like that. But the match, type of matches I hate are the hardcore matches or any matches that involve weapons. I don't like hardcore matches because I've never been a fan. I mean, I grew up watching ECW. Let's put that out there. And I enjoyed the product watching it. But as a referee, I would not want to officiate a match where there's a lot of blood involved and things like that. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm a traditionalist. You know, I grew up in the era of, you know, Harley Race and Don Morocco and Bob Backlund. You know, you didn't see a lot of that growing up. So I hate those types of matches. If anything, from the hygiene point of view, and from the point of view that, yeah, I know there's an audience out there that likes it, but I don't like officiating those types of matches. I just don't think they're safe, hygienically. The other type of matches that I hate to officiate, and these don't come in any specific type, but there could be a spot in a match where the wrestler, the face will go out there and go on the audience. I'm sorry, the heel will go out in the audience, grab the face, and, like, bring the face up to the audience and have them chop the wrestler. I hate that spot. If you're going to allow a child to chop, okay, that's fine. But what I hate is when they do this to adults. They allow adults to chop. Some adults get it. You know, they're not out to kill anybody. But, you know, you get some of those adults out there that have had a little too much. They're a little tired at the show, so they're a little rambunctious, and they want to be
too much alcohol.
Ric Flair. Exact, yes. And they want to be the next Ric Flair. And, you know, and haul back and chop a wrestler. I hate that. And when that happens, I let it happen once or twice. I'm like, get back in the ring. This is not good. Back in the ring. Back in the ring. So those are the two types of matches that I hate. I can pretty much tolerate anything else.
I will point out also here in the state of Washington, it is illegal by commission rules to allow a non-licensed participant to make contact with anyone on the show that is licensed. So there's also that aspect. And a lot of people up here don't read the rules, so if the commissioner happens to be there, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is with us. I know Coach has some questions for you guys, so I'm going to hand it right over to the coach at the most.
All right.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay,
thank you.
So we'll do like usual. I'll throw the question out to you, and you can ask it to them for me, please.
Okay.
All right. Did you guys play sports in high school or growing up?
Baseball for me.
I did track, basketball, wrestling. Let's see. I even one year partook in high school football and realized not really cut out to be that because, I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen me, maybe minus sign guy and coach, but, yeah, me being a football player just, wasn't. But I've done, I guess that's sports too.
Zach, why about you?
I did not play sports in school, although in my eighth grade year in middle school, I did wrestle, but ended up losing every match. So needless to say, I never wrestled again. So
you
that was my foray into sports.
Huh? Okay. You tried at least. I give you credit for that. And then the next question is your guys' self-defense background.
I'm retired military, and then I did federal security and became an instructor with first aid and pressure points and all that good stuff. So
nice.
I'm sorry, what was the question I cut out?
Do you have a self-defense background, Rex?
Oh, yeah. Rex has a self-defense background about as much as a security guard in a whorehouse does. No. No. My thing consists of tasers.
Nice. Okay.
Zach, do you have anything?
First of all, I want to thank, was it Rudy that has the military background?
Yes.
Thank you for serving,
yes,
sir.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm a red belt in Taekwondo, so that's the extent of my martial arts background.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, you guys, growing up, who were your heroes? That includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Well, that's easy for me. Kiss was my favorite band because, I mean, they were putting makeup on and scaring people and exploding things up, so that was easy as a kid. And then wrestling-wise, who wouldn't love Bruiser Brody? So I got a chance to see Bob Geigel would come through the Midwest, Central States, NWA. They rotate the belt, so Ric Flair, Bruiser Brody, Bulldog Bob Brown, Sarge Jones. So, I definitely fell in love with Bruiser Brody.
Nice.
I'm going to say, first of all, because my mother, because, well, she had me. And then I'm going to say probably, you know, wrestling business-wise, it was Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was a big, big influence for me when I saw how he worked and everything. But, like, my ultimate favorite role model, to be quite honest with you, and he's probably the greatest of anything when it comes to sports, is, of course, the legendary Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Zach, what about you? You got some heroes?
The heroes that immediately come to mind are my parents, of course, who have always been supportive of me in whatever I did growing up. And, I can honestly say I wouldn't be here where I am today if it wasn't for their love and guidance. Aside from other heroes, I don't know if I had any heroes that I looked up to. I mean, I certainly had, there were certainly wrestling personalities that, you know, I made sure I watched whenever they were on TV. I don't know if you call them heroes. They were just personalities that I liked to follow, that I liked. So I don't think I can call them heroes. So I guess just my parents then.
Nice. What do you guys got coming up?
Well, that's an easy one. I'm sitting at a venue right now. Got here at noon. I'm sitting in front of a ring and chairs, and I've got a bunch of wrestlers here because we've got my third show of the weekend going off at 7 o'clock tonight in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Sweet.
Rex, what about you? I know you got some stuff coming up this month. Yeah.
For this month, I've actually taken the month of March off because I've got some issues that I got going on with my mother. So actually, I canceled my March bookings, but I do have some stuff in April coming up, and in May. So yes, that's what I've got this month. Is nothing, just because I chose to make sure my mother's okay.
Nothing
Definitely.
Wrong with that at all. Zach, what have you got coming up?
Yeah, family comes first, so I'm with you, brother. I get that. I understand, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's see. I got a show coming up this Saturday for Valor Pro Wrestling out of York, Pennsylvania. And I guess in 2 weeks I have a show coming up in Quakertown, Pennsylvania for Worldwide Wrestling Alliance. And then in 3 weeks, Three Legacies Wrestling will be holding a big show at the Lancaster County Convention Center in Lancaster, PA. So all of those flyers are on my Facebook page. Not my Facebook page, but all of those flyers are out there on their respective promotions pages. So that's what I got coming
cool.
up.
Cool. Okay. Now, you guys, who are you for the work with?
Oh, wow. Once again, it's probably the guy that communicates the best, but there's not been any bad. I haven't had any. I mean, it's all a learning experience, and so, I mean, it's hard to even put a name out there. Maybe the bad ones stick out, but really I've been fortunate, and I haven't really had – maybe they kept themselves, but I just stayed out of their way. But always the good ones are the ones that know the ring, know the business, know the communication, you know, the veterans. I mean, they're always fun to work with because they know what they're doing. And it's fun sometimes to see them in there with the new guys, because if the new guys will listen, that's kind of what it's fun to work with, is watching a new talent working with a veteran, and they're talking, trying to work things in the ring, and he's listening, and he's going that without a, you know, hits. And those are probably my favorites to work with.
So. Awesome.
T-Rex, what about you? Do you have a favorite?
Who was that for?
T-Rex.
Oh.
Rex is still thinking, I guess. What about you, Zach? You got a favorite?
I don't have a specific favorite. I have a type of favorite. And that's pretty much I've always enjoyed working with wrestlers who have wrestled for any of the big television promotions. And the reason why I enjoy that is because as my colleagues here know, you know, we are still learning. We don't know everything there is to know about refereeing. And what I enjoy about working with those guys is that they will take me aside. And on many occasions, I've been taken aside and said, look, this is what you need to do. Okay, I'm going to need you to communicate this to the other person. But when you do it, I need you to get a little closer to me, because apparently I wasn't close enough. So it's things like that that they have experience, they have learned from working in the television promotions, things like little nuggets like that that they can give me that will help me improve my job here on the independents. I've always enjoyed because I've learned so much from those guys. And I guess that would be the favorite type that I like working with.
Cool. Okay. And then let's see, how do people get ready?
Did you come up with a favorite?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, sorry. I needed to hear part of it because I lost you guys. I was in a bad signal area. What now?
Do you have a favorite person or people that you work with on a regular basis?
Like as in life in general or in the ring?
Like in the ring, like who's your favorite guys to ref for?
Oh, man. I got to say, she's always bright and sunny, and I love sunny days. Actually, to be honest with you, one of the coolest people that I've ever gotten to work with, and this man's a legend, man, he's done some serious things and the grappler, he's one that actually gave me my name, believe it or not. So people like that always inspire me when I get to crawl in a ring in their greatness and stuff, and it makes me a little more humble each time to realize that, you know, my all-time favorite, and I've never really gotten to work with her, but I've been on a show or two with her, is Casey Carlisle. Just her presence and her, and the way she commands respect. That's another person I've always kind of looked up to.
Yes, very cool. We're huge fans of Casey, right, Sign Guy?
Absolutely.
And then who deserves some shout-outs out there, guys? Of course, mainly I'm talking about wrestlers that are up-and-comers. But, hey, that, you know, if there's any ring announcers, referees, anything else that deserves a shout-out, give them a shout-out.
Well, guys, they've got the Bulletproof Academy in Omaha, Nebraska. The late Jason Strife, he was the one that initially started. It's been carrying forward with some great instructors in there. Some of the promotions that I've been working with, I want to give that shout-out to TAPW out of Jackson City, Kansas. MWA that travels around. We were in Lincoln, Nebraska. We have Magnum Wrestling. We have PWP, Next Level Wrestling. And then the show I'm getting ready to do here in a few hours today, we've got Flagship. So I want to give a shout-out to all those guys, as well as 907 Pro up in Alaska and Russell Pro Alaska. I got a big mega show coming up May 3rd with probably about 8 superstars coming through there.
Nice.
I'll give a shout out
about
to
you.
One of
some guys coming up you want to mention?
I'll give a shout out to one of my young guys that's been busting his hump the last year or so, and it really hasn't gotten a lot of recognition from where he's at, but I've trained him solely, and his name is Rex Michelson. He's done a hell of a job. He's doing a hell of a job, and he's doing it all while having learning disabilities. And the other shout-out I want to give to is to actually another good, close friend of mine that's been back in the game for a little bit, and his name is Ref John Daniels. Shout-outs to both of you. You guys are working great. You guys are working hard every day. You've inspired me to lead, and when I do lead, to lead by example, because that's what we do.
Zach, what about you? Are there some young people coming up you want to mention?
But before I do, I'm going to mention two promotions, but this by no means represents the totality of everyone out there. This is just two promotions that I've noticed at the top of my mind. Three Legacies Wrestling is run by Ricardo Rodriguez from the WWE here in Lancaster, PA. He runs a school here and a promotion. And on many occasions, I have worked his shows, and his students are some of the most well-adjusted, respectful students I've ever come across. He commands their respect, I guess earned is the right word, and his students work very, very, very hard, and you can tell by their work ethic. You can tell by how they carry themselves in the ring. You can tell that they really care about the product that they put on. And it's just one of those promotions where if you wanted to find an example of a wrestling student that embodies everything that we've been talking about so far about keeping your mouth and eyes, your mouth closed and your eyes and ears open and all the other things that we have learned coming up through this business. Those guys and girls exemplify that, and I would be remiss not to give a shout out to that to them. And my second shout out goes to the wrestlers, the men and women in the Susquehanna Wrestling Organization, which is based out of York, Seven Valleys, Pennsylvania. I've been affiliated with that promotion for many, many years, and every month, those guys and gals, they bend over backwards to put on the best wrestling show ever, and it shows. And to see them all come together as a team and put on a quality program month after month is something that needs to be recognized. So absolutely, those are the two shout-outs I'd like to mention.
Right on. Okay, and this last segment I want to do before I let you guys back to Sign Guy is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would love to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
I love that question. I like the caramel macchiato, whether it's Scooters or Starbucks or even the K-Cup, the caramel frappe, the foo-foo.
Rex, you got a favorite coffee?
T-Rex doesn't drink coffee because he's actually got a coffee bean allergy, but so I can't really even
favorite,
answer that one, Coach. But I would
your
say
favorite
if I could,
drink.
Though, well,
what's your favorite
Zach,
drink?
What about you? You drink coffee?
What's that?
Did we hear Rex's answer?
Yeah,
he said he doesn't drink it.
Hold on a second. Rex, what's your favorite drinks?
My favorite drink?
Any drinks, cool. Yes.
Actually, I'm a fan of what they call Lotus. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's like an energy drink product that's all natural.
I love a good Lotus. I love a good Lotus with a little bit of extra ice in that. Oh, my God. That's my favorite.
Cool.
That's my favorite.
Okay. All right, resume.
I don't drink coffee. However, if my wife goes to Starbucks, I will ask her to pick me up a caramel frappuccino.
Okay.
Okay, nice.
So does that make me a hypocrite, though? I mean, because I'm not really a coffee
drinker. No. Okay, now we're still on the favorites. Tell everybody your guys' favorite concerts you've seen.
Favorite concerts I've seen. Oh, Paul McCartney played for 3 hours. Pearl Jam played for 3 hours and 15 minutes. Black Sabbath farewell tour. It's too many to mention for me. I do a lot of concerts.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
Oh. You actually got some favorite concerts?
Yeah. Actually, I got I'm a little different guy. So, like, I'm going to even mention a guy named Patrick Lamb. He's a jazz artist. I've been to, let's see. My favorite, though, I was at a Metallica concert in Portland about a decade ago. That's my favorite all-time band, Metallica, and I'm going to go after that, and I'm going to say Blake Shelton.
Zach, what about you?
I've been to a lot of concerts. My favorite one was one that I attended last year. It was the Poison, Joan Jett, Def Leppard concert.
All right, nice.
Yeah, from last year.
And
it was my first. I'm sorry, what was that?
Was Motley Crue with them?
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of the other band. Yeah.
Okay, there you
Motley
go.
Crue.
There you go.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing Poison in concert. And oh my gosh, man, what a performance. But to date, that's my favorite one. That's my favorite one.
Sweet. Okay. Now, in your guys' lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Well, that's easy. The Cubs and the Broncos. So they rule everything.
T-Rex, I'm going to guess the Blazers for you.
That would be correct.
All right.
Any others?
I thought so. Zach, what about you? You got his favorite sports franchise?
I do. I grew up outside of Philly, so I am a Sixers, Phillies, Eagles fan. All day long, forever and ever. And Flyers.
Nice. Okay. All right, guys. I appreciate your guys' stories and your time and your interview, and I wish you all the luck in the world, and I'm sure Sign Guy has a little bit more for you.
Thank you.
One of the things in our business, especially at the independent level, that fans may not fully appreciate, but everyone that works in the business appreciates, the ring itself can vary a lot, whether it's a 20-foot ring or a 16-foot ring, real ropes, some have the cables, some are used with planks, some you have 2x4s underneath. There's different ways they get put together. I'll start with you, T-Rex. Do you have a favorite physical ring in which you've worked?
Yes, I do. Actually, it goes really back early in my career to a man that trained me named Sandy Bowler. He had probably one of the, what I call, most, like, influential rings in my area for a long time. It was straight-up iron. It was heavy. It took, like, two guys a post to pick up. I remember this thing. Literally, probably is the reason why I still walk to this day with one of my knees, like, having, like, calcium deposits. But in the end, it was a great ring because the fact that you couldn't get the term fake from this ring. If you hit this ring, even the fans were like, ouch, because it literally – so that's my favorite ring. My second favorite ring, and I think Sun Guy, you probably even worked in this ring, I'm assuming. was the old BCW ring because it was a low boy. It was like a 16 by 16, and it was great to get in and out of. So.
Absolutely. I spent a lot of time in that one. All right. What about you, Rudy? Do you have a favorite physical ring in which you've worked?
You know, the low boys, like I said, it's easy to get in and out of, so that's always fun because you always want to slide in. I've had too many of the bigger rings where I've hit my knee, and that's always an ouch. So I don't know that I have a favorite unless you've got a bad canvas. I've got one company that uses it's like a rubber canvas, so you get strawberries galore on that one. I've got another company that their mat's not flat, so it's like a wave of ocean underneath there, and it's hard to work with. So I have my least favorite being those. Other than that, if I can slide around, jump around, move the way I need to, then it's a favorite ring for me.
Mm-hmm. You have a rubber mat?
Yeah, the canvas, the black canvas, rubber canvas, you're correct.
I have never encountered that yet.
Yep. You don't slide whatsoever. You stick right to it, unfortunately.
That must make your hook slide really awkward.
It is bad. It is really bad.
All right, Zach, what about you? Do you have a favorite actual physical ring?
I don't have a favorite type of ring, but I will say nothing will take the wind out of my sails faster than when I go down to do a slide. And I did not test the ring ahead of time, and that slide locks me in place. nothing takes the wind out of my sails faster than that. No one likes to be grounded, especially me. I will tell you that at one time we did an exhibition wrestling match at a boxing show. And we did the match, obviously, in the boxing ring. I can tell you from experience, you don't want to take a bump in a boxing ring. Because those things are hard as heck, let me tell you. But I don't have a specific type of ring that I prefer, though.
Of course, in wrestling, the people that are actually doing refereeing know that there's a lot of aspects to it. There's a lot of moving parts that you have to know. You are actually doing two things at once at all times. You're doing what the people perceive you to be doing, and you're doing what you're actually doing as well. T-Rex, for you, what was the hardest aspect of refereeing for you to pick up?
A lot of verbal cues when I first started were really tough. Like, it took me the longest time to realize, like, some of the verbal stuff because, you know, like, and then, like, picking up some of the timing aspect was really, really hard for me at first because, you know, if they were saying, like, you have a 12-minute match and you got to start telling these guys to go home at 10, and I'm looking over and I'm, like, trying to see what the timekeeper's doing, and it looks like he's calling a play from the sideline for first base, and I was totally confused at first. But to me, the biggest thing is it's a learning process, and to anybody that's out there listening to this that's young, just pay attention to the verbal cues, because for me, at first, it was really hard to pick up the verbal cues. It was really tough to, like, understand why we were the communicator in there. I came from a wrestling side of it and then went to ref, so, like, I was totally confused when it came to picking up that stuff, and it took me a long, long time to be able to pick that up. So I teach my refs now at a young age to be verbal and to be vocal and to be big, you know, and bold, and let them know if they're not out there, hey, what's the time? Even if you're over in a corner, kind of coo at them like, hey, time, you know. So this way there's no, you know, if you go over. I'd rather be a little under than go way over.
Mm-hmm. Ideally, you don't do either, but I think you're right. Rudy, what about you? What was the hardest aspect of refereeing for you to master?
The physicality, the cardiovascular, I mean, staying in shape. I quit smoking cold turkey 2 years ago. So I was smoking when I started this, you know, 9 years ago. And it's a matter of just getting in shape, where these guys are in shape. And then you're doing this show. I'm seeing myself watching old tapes, seeing myself kind of leaning on my knees and, you know, all red. And now I've, you know, I'm now eating healthy and got rid of the smoking. And now it's just So I think the hardest aspect for me was being in the shape that I need to be in, not looking, making myself look like a fool, you know, because we're all putting on, trying to put on the best product out there for the fans. And so I don't want to be the, you know, the out of shape ref or the, you know, the lazy ref or whatever you want to say. I don't want to call anybody any bad whatsoever because we all do a great job. But for me, just staying in the shape was probably the hardest.
What about you, Zach? What was the hardest part for you to pick up as far as refereeing?
I got three that are all equally hard. I guess the first thing was, and this goes back to the beginning of my career, was learning to stay out of the way. I think that was the biggest problem that I had early on in my career. I'm trying to be careful what I say here because I know that people not in the business are going to listen to this podcast. So I'll put it this way. You have an idea if wrestlers are in a certain hold or whatever, or setting someone up or backing them up into the rope, you have an idea which direction they're going to go. So you know to stay out of the way. And if you work with them a lot of years or a while, you know what some of their favorite moves are, you know, to stay out of the way because you know a certain move is going to come up. I always found that to be very challenging in the beginning of my career. And that's something that beginning referees are going to have to learn the hard way. I don't know if that's necessarily something that can be taught in a school. That's just one of those life lessons that you're just going to have to learn the hard way. Another challenge or that was hard for me to pick up is in a tag team match, you know, obviously you have to keep track of who the legal competitors are. Where I found it challenging was, say, for example, you know, a manager jumps up on the apron and now you got to take your attention to that manager. All kinds of things are going on in the background, and you're talking to the manager. You guys are communicating. You know, things are going on in the background, and one of the problems I had in the beginning was I would forget who the legal people were because I'm too busy talking to the manager. That's not an issue now, of course, but that was a challenge. A challenge that I have to this day is verbally communicating to the to the wrestlers without the fans hearing it. Because sometimes you know, depending on where you have your shows, the acoustics are such that you can whisper and the fans in the front row are going to hear you. So I'll get up close to the wrestlers and I'll put my hand over my mouth like I'm an NFL ref holding a play card to my mouth, and I'll talk to them that way. This way they can't read my lips or hear what I'm saying. Rhett or Rudy, if you guys have any suggestions on how I can better do that, I'm certainly open to it. Without having to cover my mouth when I talk to them, you guys have a trick as to what you do when you need to talk to somebody in the ring?
I've done it quite a few times. I will literally, like, if they're – I've done it before. I've gotten literally down almost, like, on my hands and knees, and if I see a guy, like, calling a spot, I'll literally crawl over there, and I'll communicate, like, in Kearney. I'll say something like, take it home in a different sense. They take it home so they understand, so it doesn't sound like you're muffled, but it also looks like you're not communicating. I also try to not move my lips as much. It kind of helps me.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds weird, like – if you breathe a little deeper, you can do it like this in a sense. And you know, you can tell them, you see, I'm kind of doing an alpha. You're like, go home.
Right.
So I kind of like, I let my teeth show a little bit, like, you know, because then I'm smiling. They don't know. Like, the rest is smiling. He's happy.
Oh, okay.
I took some tricks along the way that I've learned. And I teach some of that, actually. So it's important to, it's actually important that I'm glad you asked that because I'll give you advice on that. And I have no problems helping out anybody giving advice to. So.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Another thing also to try, one of the things is when you are bending down, you know, into, let's say someone's given someone a headlock, you're kind of looking to make sure there's no choke going on. You can lean into their move. And as you're leaning into their move, you're getting closer to them, but at the same time, you're kind of putting a little distance because you're putting your body closer to them, your head closer to them, put your body towards the audience to where that's a lot of times where I'll do it. So I'll bend down or lean into what their move is to communicate with. I mean, it seems to work out really well. So, like if you're doing a headlock, it just looks like a snatch. I'm just looking down, checking if it's not a chokehold or, you know, same way if they're doing a sleeper hold or something like that. I just lean into them. You know, and that's what I've found works for me a lot.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
I will throw in what I like to do is learn how to increase and decrease volume. That way you can speak in what you're communicating in between what you're selling. And that usually works fairly well as well.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we are down to the last few minutes, and I want to make sure you all have time to say anything and plug anything in closing today. Oh, T-Rex, if you got anything you want to get out there, floor is yours.
Yeah, first I'll plug all the shows that I mean, even though I'm not on the one in March, I'll still plug it for you too. Combat Pro Wrestling, I believe it's March 30th. At 8 o'clock, and it's in Linwood, Washington at Club Hectic. Also, May 4th, Inclusion Pro Wrestling. They are a new company based out of Tulsa, Washington. This will be their third show. If you want to come on out, you can inquire about that. I can help you get tickets and all that that you need. I'd also like to plug that I now have also gotten some more new Team T-Rex merchandise. So if you see me on a show and you want to get some merchandise, come say hello to my friendly face. And that's about all I got, gentlemen. And it's been a pleasure, Sign Guy, to be on your show. I appreciate listening to all you gentlemen as well. And Coach, thank you as well. Rudy and what's your guys' other name?
Zach.
Getting chair time with me. What's that?
Zach.
Okay, well, thank all of you for having to listen to this old guy here talk for as long as I have. Anyway, appreciate you guys, and keep the zebra stripes going for the next 10 years, fellas, and I hope you all the best.
Thank
you,
sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, T-Rex, thank you very much. I will see you in the next few weeks, and I look forward to that.
Yep, I look forward to having
Rudy Diamond, I know you got the show tonight, but anything you want to say and plug, fair game for you right now.
Yeah, thank you so very much, guys. First off, thank you for having me. It's definitely been a pleasure. Thank you for the other refs you had on. Some knowledgeable guys in the business, and it's fun to hear other people that have the knowledge, their perspective. So definitely want to put a shout out to that. For me, guys, I work for 7 different promotions, so it's hard to plug everybody. But if people were to go to the Referee Rudy Diamond Facebook page, you'll see all my postings out there. Also, I want to put a shout-out to the Nebraska Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Referee Rudy Diamond just announced that he'll be one of the 2024 nominees into the Hall of Fame. So very happy with that, and so I want to put a plug-in for those guys. But thanks to everybody, the fans, to the guys who do the podcast, to the refs, to the wrestlers. We all work together as one team, trying to do the same thing. That's entertain or be entertained. So keep up the good work, everybody. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. And Zach, if you got anything to say, plug, or promote, go for it.
I'll do my shameless self-plug. I am on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Carlucci. That's Z-A-C-K. Last name spelled C-A-R-L-U-C-C-I. And I, too, ref for many promotions. And the three shows that I have coming up, I mentioned earlier in the program. But I do want to thank you, T-Rex, and Rudy Diamond. It's a pleasure to be on this panel with you guys. And I appreciate hearing your stories as well. Thank you for having us on this podcast, and most of all, thank you to the fans, because if it weren't for the fans, we wouldn't be able to do what we do in the ring. So thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
All right, well, thank you. You guys, we definitely appreciate you taking the time to be with us. It was great talking on the aspect of refereeing and pro wrestling. And, Coach, you probably got some stuff to plug or promote, am I right?
Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. And I'm blessed to have Sign Guy on with me at least half the time. Thank you, Sign Guy. And then, of course, next Saturday, the 16th, I have Matt Sigmon. On the 23rd of March, I have Rudy Boy Gonzalez. On the 30th, I have AIWF World Heavyweight Champion, the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony. I'm excited for that, and I'm in talks with Missy Hyatt right now for April. And then, of course, I'm blessed to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil every Sunday at 1 Pacific with Sign Guy. Thank you, Sign Guy, QT, JD for creating it, and all the people who work behind the scenes. And thank all the fans. We love you so much.
Great. You can find me on all the normal social medias. You know where to find them by now. I will be at Northwest Pro next Saturday, the 16th, in Vaughan, Washington. Then on the 30th, I will be at the aforementioned Club Hectic in Linwood, Washington for Combat Pro Wrestling Presents Theatrical Wrestling. And then in April on the 6th, I will be in Ocean Shores for Rogue Wrestling Attractions. 21st, will be at Falcade, number 5, happening at the arena in Jeffersonville. So if you are near any of those spots, come see me. I will be there. Next week on the show, we have Original Glow Girl Hollywood scheduled, so make sure you tune in for that. Everybody stay safe out there. Get out there, support your local independents, and we will talk to you soon.